This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I still feel at the end of the day, the Giants have put themselves in a spot where they, unfortunately, right or wrong, in my opinion, they have to take a franchise quarterback. They have to find the future franchise quarterback here. And if it's going to be Sanders at three, okay, so be it. If it's not going to be Sanders, then they better make sure they find another one, Jackson Dart, whoever that is. But that should be the primary goal for the Giants this year, this draft, is finding the future franchise quarterback.
He's definitely the most polarizing player out there. There's no doubt. I don't like him as a pro. That's my opinion. I've said that for a while. I don't like him at two. I don't like him at three. I don't like him at five. I just don't believe in him enough to have that kind of a draft profile there. See, for me, what it comes down to from a Giants perspective, there's two ways to look, or two questions. Number one, is it better to ignore a problem and kick it down the road, possibly with a better answer down the road, or to compound a problem? And my answer is I would rather ignore it rather than throw bad money, if you will, at a player that I don't believe in. Because if they take Sanders, to me, that's compounding a problem that they made years ago with Daniel Jones, which I think just sets them back even more.
Right, but they thought the same thing last year, and that turned out to be a mistake. My point is, with this regime, you can't keep kicking the can down the road. Also, sink or swim, succeed or fail, the best thing a franchise could do is take a chance on a quarterback. That's the most valuable thing. If you don't have one, you need to keep taking as many chances as you possibly can. It can't be, well, we're picking third this year, but we don't like the quarterback crop. Oh, we're picking sixth last year, but we don't like the quarterback. Like, Brian Daboll, at some point, isn't he supposed to be a quarterback guru here? So you're telling me that there wasn't a quarterback available at all last year that Daboll and Shane identified as somebody that could be their franchise quarterback? And now again, this year, you're telling me that there's nobody that the Giants can identify to be their franchise quarterback. Without a franchise quarterback of the future, they are going nowhere. So as much as I love Abdul Carter, even if they pick him, it's irrelevant. Shane and Daboll won't be around to see it reap the rewards, if it ever does, until somebody finds a franchise quarterback.
But I'm okay with that, because one of my greatest concerns, which is why I said that I would have not retained both of those gentlemen when we'd had that discussion, my fear is that you talk about job security and self-preservation. Well, I mean, let's face it, common sense would prevail for the most part. If I'm Shane, if I'm Daboll, all right, let's get a young quarterback, buy ourselves some more time, you know, here we go, get an extra year or two. Whereas if they don't do that, which I don't think they're going to, that tells me that maybe behind closed doors, or implies that they were given more than a, you better win this year or it's done. Because if that was the case where Mara intimated, guys, get your quarterback, take a big swing, and if it doesn't work, you're out, then I think that you would see a quarterback absolutely taken by the Giants at three. I don't think they're taking a quarterback at three. But I think they're taking somebody defensively.
But whether they have the security or not, they need a quarterback.
But they need the right quarterback,
not a
quarterback,
Sal. What are they waiting for?
Well, you're waiting for the right one.
Well, how many years is that going to take?
However many years it takes before they can identify the right one.
Let's play this forward.
Good.
Let's say they take Abdul Carter.
Yep.
Russell Wilson's their quarterback with Jameis Winston as the backup.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next year after the Giants win 7 games, 9 games? What happens next year?
Well, okay, and I get it. I'll answer it, but it's a good question. I acknowledge the conflict here. I don't think this is very easy. What happens next year is if Abdul Carter's as good as I think he's going to be, you've got a, forget about Pro Bowl, you've got a potential All-Pro in the building along with a few others, Dexter Lawrence guys, a couple of guys already have. So that is a good thing moving forward. Now, if they win 6 or 7 games with Russell Wilson and Jameis, they're going to win 3, 4, 5 with Shador.
Right.
And by the way, now they won't have Abdul Carter, and there's also no guarantee that next year they take that next step and start to win 8, 9 games and eventually 10 and 12 with Sanders, because I don't think he's that player.
Right,
if you don't think he's that guy, why would you draft them?
But then they have to draft another one. I would never say, well, he's not the guy. Here's my issue with them. Nobody's their guy. Nobody's their guy. They passed on 1 billion guys last year. Nobody is their guy. Daniel Jones was their guy. How'd that work out? So I don't exactly trust them either. But let's just say that they don't believe in Shador Sanders. Fine. Then go get Jackson Dart.
They might.
That's all I'm saying. I don't care who it is. The Giants' primary goal should be coming away from this draft with a quarterback of the future. Until they have that, they have nothing. So let's play it out without anything. Russell Wilson, everybody thinks they're going to win this year with Russell Wilson because the Giants think that they're better than
them. I don't think anybody thinks that. I think most Giants fans think the Giants are going to win 3, 4, 5 games with Russell Wilson. Who thinks the Giants are going to be good?
The Giants think that they are better than them.
Outside the Giants, though. Yeah. Like, I don't think fans are looking at Russell and Jameis saying they're going to be good.
So then even more so, why wouldn't you take a quarterback? Without a franchise quarterback, you have nothing. But let's say that the Giants are right and everybody else is wrong. They're better than they think. And then they're picking what next year? 15th, 16th? Well, when's the quarterback coming then? It's not. So every year that they kick the can down the road, it's a wasted year. You should be taking advantage of these opportunities atop the draft to select a quarterback and draft one that you identify, one that you could develop into a future franchise quarterback. And they just haven't done it. So again, we're going to sit here where they have the number 3 pick and the second best quarterback in the draft by most people's accounts are going to be there, and he's not good enough for them?
It's a bad year to have the 3rd overall pick if you quarterback hunting. By the way, you just said without a quarterback, you have nothing, which I agree with. It's been proven outside of a few rare occurrences in history. You need the quarterback to win big. So I'm with you. The statement makes sense. Without a quarterback, you have nothing. But with the wrong quarterback, you have less than nothing. Because number 1, you burned a premium pick on him. Number 2, eventually, even if he's not great, you might have to pay him. That's why, go back to what I said to start the show, I would rather ignore a problem and try to address it unconventionally than compound previous mistakes and just keep making this thing worse down the road.
Right, but I would rather take the chance. That's where you and I fundamentally disagree.
I think you like Sanders more than me.
No, it's not even about Sanders. Dude, they had the 6th pick last year, and there were no quarterbacks good enough for them. But Sean Payton could draft Bo Nix and turn him into a playoff quarterback. Atlanta, who already paid $1 billion for Kirk Cousins, could identify Michael Penix and say, holy crap, this guy fell to us, we have to take him. So other teams can take a risk, even in not ideal situations. With Dable and Shannon, it's like, oh no, it's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. This guy's got, no, if it's not Jaden Daniels or it's not Drake May, we can't take him. No, we need a wide receiver. Wrong. You were wrong last year. Now this year it's going to be, no, we don't like Shador Sanders. We're not going to trade down for Jackson Dart. We're going to get Abdul Carter, the best player available. Wrong again. How many years is this going to go down the road? Now, drafting Shador Sanders could turn out to be a big mistake, but I'd at least respect the fact that they took a risk in getting the most valuable commodity in the NFL, especially after they screwed up last year by not doing it. It has nothing really to do with the player standards.
Okay, so more about the philosophy, more about the position, more about, you know, stretching this thing forward. I get you. And again, fundamentally, I don't disagree. No quarterback, you're not going anywhere except if it's a rare occurrence. But I would rather spend resources, right? And it could even be multiple. Like, it could be something like just a real kick the tire like a Purdy back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it was 7th round pick. Was Purdy the absolute last pick?
I think he was.
I think he was, too. So, but even if it's not quite that, but 6th round or late 5th or 7th or early, whatever it might be, take a flyer, big kid, could throw it 70 yards, not refined yet. All right, so I'd put him in the stable. Maybe we let him eat down the road. And then what I do is I target somebody who's a lot cheaper, but to me, as interesting as Shador Sanders. Again, if I liked Shador Sanders, if I thought he was better than this,
right,
I'd be on the air saying for the next 2 months, hey, you better make sure you get to two to make sure that the Browns don't take Shador Sanders. Now, it looks like they won't. But I got to tell you, we're, I don't know if we're railing on the Giants here, but the energy that we're projecting toward the Giants, this is not, now they've earned it, but this is not the day after the draft. They very well might take a quarterback at number three. All I'm saying is, I cannot compound this, and I believe by reaching and, you know, continuously trying to chase your tail and, we don't have this and we need that, even though we don't love this, maybe we can make them that. I think that is the worst thing you could do. You've got Abdul Carter, who is going to be a superstar. Draft that kid.
Him or Hunter. We don't know what Cleveland's going to do, but it seems like...
I think Cleveland's going with Hunter, though. I feel that way.
It seems like some mock drafts have it the other way around, but either way, you're going to get Hunter, or you'll have the chance to pick Hunter or Carter, which I don't disagree with, in theory. The problem is the Giants need a quarterback. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guarantee, lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Paramus. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Sal, BT, how are you guys doing?
Good.
What's happening, bud?
So I got to say, I disagree with your theory about the Giants and they need to take a quarterback. Drafting somebody third overall doesn't make them a franchise quarterback, if you're reaching for them. We've seen teams in the past reach for quarterbacks just because they need a quarterback, and it usually doesn't work out. The Giants aren't in a position to pass on an all-pro talent like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. They need talent like that.
Yeah.
Right. You said the same thing last year with the Malik Nabers. How'd that work out?
Well, he's terrific, at least. Malik Nabers is a stud.
Oh, yeah? How was their offense last year?
It's not his fault. You got to have somebody throwing the ball,
it's not
Sal.
His fault. I know. It's not his fault.
Wait, so you don't think Malik Nabers is good?
They drafted a wide receiver to do what?
To
score points, right?
Sal,
how'd
come
that
on, man. That's Nabers' fault?
I didn't say it was his fault or not.
But do you think he's going to be good if they have a good quarterback eventually?
It's irrelevant.
I think he's going to be a stud.
You said that last year.
And what I saw was studly.
And I saw a team.
No, he's already a stud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is already a stud. How many touchdowns did Giants score as a team?
How many points did
the Giants score? He's such a stud. So the point is that it doesn't make a difference if you have a wide receiver who is such a stud like Malik Nabers. If you can't have a quarterback that could get him the ball, do you see where I'm getting at? It's not about Nabers.
If you don't believe Shador is that quarterback, taking him number three doesn't fix that.
No, correct. I didn't say to do that. I said that they have to find a franchise quarterback. I didn't say force the issue and take Shador. I said identify a quarterback in the draft now that you can develop to the franchise quarterback. I don't care if it's Shador Sanders at three. I don't care if you trade down and get Jackson Dart. I don't care who it is. That's what the Giants need to do. It can't be, let's just keep passing. Nobody's good enough for us for how many years with Shane and Dable.
Yeah, I just don't think you can force the issue. Like I said, the chances of you finding a franchise quarterback at the top of the second round or even trading back into the first round are low.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, John. It sounds good. Really, it sounds great because I've said this for the Jets for years. Find a guy in round two or round three, a big, strong, fast guy that can throw it a country mile, coach him up a little bit, then you got your guy. It almost never works. They tried that with Kellen Clemens. You know, the Giants have tried that with other guys. It is a very appealing scouting report or philosophy going into a draft, but it just doesn't work that much. So when you've got a guy like Carter, and by the way, the Hunter-Carter thing, I really like Travis Hunter, but if I'm faced with the option, I'm taking Abdul Carter because I don't really know what his... I think Hunter's best position is corner, I think. And part of the appeal with him is that he does both things. I don't know if he can do both things on a snap-to-snap level on Sunday. So I think Will Johnson might be a better cornerback than him. Bottom line is that, there's such a difference with Carter and by the way, even maybe Mason Graham and other options. There is no way I'm taking Shador Sanders at three. I just don't think he's it.
Yeah,
and I ain't wasting time on him.
And that's fair. And look, maybe he's there at seven, and maybe the Jets could get involved.
I don't want him at seven.
I think Shador is fascinating because where he goes, if he goes number two, let's say, to Cleveland, which we don't anticipate being the case based on reports, then the Giants would have their choice of Hunter or Carter. But I would expect that one of those two guys goes two to Cleveland, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. If I'm Cleveland, I'm taking Carter. But either way, and then the Giants will have the choice of Hunter or Sanders or trading down to getting a quarterback. I just don't understand how people, especially when it was proven last year. We had the same exact argument going in the draft last year. You wanted Neighbors because you said he was going to be a stud.
And he is a stud. Yeah. I know you need a quarterback, but the talent was hit. Yeah. You can say the position was wrong, you did.
Right. So you wanted him because he was a stud. I said, I don't care if he's a stud or not. They need a quarterback. Here we are again. Yeah, that's great. He's a stud. It did nothing for him. They're one of the worst offenses in the sport.
I don't disagree with that. But I also know that if you get him a competent quarterback, the offense is going to change, and he's going to be an all-pro.
Well, guess what? He's got Russell Wilson now.
And I guarantee the Giants' offense is better than it was a year ago with the stiffs they rolled out. I promise you that.
Hard to be worse, although look at Pittsburgh, what it was a year ago. Russell Wilson stinks. Jameis Winston stinks.
Oh, I'm not selling these guys. But they're better than what they rolled out last year, Sal.
So then what good is a Malik Nabers draft pick? If you're saying, and I agree with you, that, well, you need to get a quarterback. Yeah, obviously. That's why I wanted the quarterback first. Then you could find a wide receiver. I don't need Malik Nabers. I need a real quarterback. Then I'll worry about the receiver.
Yeah, but I don't look at it as a singular year thing. I look at, now, eventually Giants will have to decide, is Malik Nabers, when he gets to that, you know, the fifth-year option, is he worth $35 million a year, which is what top receivers will be, maybe 40, making at that point. That's the Giants' problem. I'll let them, you know, figure that out. But, like, to me, I'm just a believer. When you're a bad team, and, you know, spoiler, Giants suck, and they've been awful forever. And their talent base, we think the Jets are bad. The Giants' talent base has been below the Jets. So to me, I'm a believer, if I could get, you know, 7, 8, 9 difference makers in the building, one would be Abdul Carter, one would be Malik Nabers, one would be Dexter Lawrence. Like, and now you start to at least look, and you're like, oh, wow, we got 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, obviously, you know, left tackle, if he could, Andrew Thomas, if he could stay healthy. Now you can at least have the framework. You can lift up the hood of the Giants and say, all right, they've got some talent that's representative with other teams in terms of top-tier stuff. Now, I give you this. No quarterback, you don't win. But it doesn't mean that they can't get the quarterback unconventionally this year or next year, and the Neighbors doesn't score 20 touchdowns with that guy.
Chris is calling from Highlands, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's happening, buddy?
First time caller, long-time listener.
Nice.
Just wanted to get an opinion from you guys on what you guys think of Will Howard, where you guys think he might fall in the draft.
I love him.
I saw a video of Gruden's QB camp just the other night they put out, and he looked pretty good. I'm not too convinced. I think we're going to take Carter or Hunter. I don't think we're going to get Shador, but just want to see where you guys think of him. If you think it's a good pick, we should try to make some moves for him.
Well, I'm not taking him at 3. I really do like him. Listen,
where's he projected to go here?
Top 12, and I think that's even stretching. I think he probably goes top 10. Although you never know with trade outs, whatever, but in terms of a talent, he's definitely a top 10 talent. In my opinion, he is.
So all of a sudden, Will Howard now is entering the conversation, whereas, you know, a month ago it was, well, there's only two quarterbacks in this draft. Then Jackson Dart started to move up the draft boards. People had him going to the Saints at 9.
This happens every year.
The Jets at 7.
But this happens. Now, you know that, Sal. Happened with Blake Bortles. Happened with Christian Ponder. It doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it book it. From two weeks from tonight, I promise you guys will be overdrafted.
Okay, and do you know why they will be overdrafted?
Yes, because teams are dumb and they make the same mistake over and over, and they throw good money at a bad quarterback that they think they're going to turn into a stud.
Because they know the risk of taking a quarterback.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Is worth it, even if you miss.
But why is it? Explain
this to me. Because it's the most valuable position in the sport.
I know that, especially
the way that it's evolved now with the cap and all that stuff.
I get that. But when you say, like, it's worth it, even if it doesn't work out. To me, that makes no sense. How is it worth it if somebody is not the guy? It's an F. The Jets needed a quarterback. They took Zach Wilson. F, wrong move. And, you know, we know all the other names. I just gave you Blake Bortles, Christian Ponder. We could play that game all day. Yeah. There's the thought of, I need a position. That's sound logic here. The other thought is, if you miss, it's still the right move. And my pushback is, it's the absolute wrong move if he's not the guy.
Yeah, and I just think it's worth the risk because eventually you're going to need that franchise quarterback. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 2 weeks out from the draft. I cannot wait. But we got a long, you know, it's going to be a long 2 weeks debating Shedeur Sanders, what the Giants do, what the Jets do.
It's fun, though. I think this is a really interesting draft for both teams.
And then after the fact, then we can question the picks or see how they're going to work out. But even then, it takes, you know, at least a year usually to figure that out. It sucks during the season watching both the Jets and Giants lose, but this is where it actually gets interesting because if the Jets and Giants were picking, you know, 28th and, you know, 30th, whatever, you'd be happy about the season, but in the draft, it wouldn't really matter as much. But when you're picking in the top 10 every year, it does matter. You also have the Jets, BT, in the conversation. We'll get to the Giants' calls, 888-808-1019. You know, being the Giants pick third, they're the biggest story, and they need a quarterback. Jets are in a spot where they don't need a franchise quarterback, but they might take one if they love one that's there. And I've seen a bunch of different mock drafts from different places. Mm-hmm. Some have Jackson Dart going to the Jets at 7. Some have Shedeur Sanders now falling to the Jets at 7.
Matter of fact, I just saw that during the break, one of which was CBSSports.com, which I'm not saying in terms of accuracy, but it's one that I've kind of leaned on over the years. I think they do a pretty good job with it. Yeah, I'm not with that. I don't want Shedeur Sanders. I would be okay with pretty much.
What about Dart? My question is,
I don't even love him at 7,
okay,
Sal.
My question is, are you just opposed to a quarterback right now?
No, I'm not opposed to a quarterback, but this is a really strong draft in positions that help you win championships. There are some really good offensive linemen that both the Jets and the Giants will have access to. There's some really good defensive linemen, which both teams will have access to. And there's at least two, maybe a third, but definitely two corners that both teams will have access to, one of which, of course, is Travis Hunter. So I am more of the mindset from a Jet perspective at number 7, take something. I really would like an offensive lineman, and I usually don't want that on draft night because it's not that sexy, you know, but I finally learned my lesson. If you don't have enough, you're not going to win. I think that they could trade down and go tight end. I don't think that they'll trade up for anybody. I think there's more of a chance they would trade out. I think that Dart, I got to sneeze. You had to do that.
You got, oh, man, it's okay. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, bless
man,
you.
That's the worst when you're in the middle of a sentence. Thank you. But I think
it just hits you. There's nothing you can do about it.
It really does. I think the Jets have a lot of options. And the best part about the Jets, I think, unlike the Giants, because it's a new regime in Florham Park, is that they're operating with clarity. There's no pressure. They are basically resetting things. And it's nobody's. We're not sitting here saying, come on, Jets, you better do this, right, or you better do that. It's just do what you think is best to build a winning program.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I love everything that's coming out of Aaron Glenn's mouth. Now, we got to see it play out here, but it's crazy to say, my gut feel, even with the Lazard thing, I know you went nuts before.
Yeah, ripping, Lazard.
Yeah, but here's why I'm okay with it.
He stinks. I don't want him in the building.
But, yeah, but the fact that Glenn thought it was okay to bring him back,
yeah,
I kind of trust Glenn. If he didn't think this guy would be a good teammate or a good guy for that locker room, it wouldn't be here. So I kind of trust Glenn more so than...
With that stuff. I get you, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to, from a Jets perspective or Giants, but in this case, Jets, I'm not going to blindly accept everything that Aaron Glenn yet. Because I think Aaron Glenn's going to be really good, and I like the way he's handled this very under the radar, no nonsense, Rodgers gone fast, and decisions made swiftly, and a lot of stealth operations. I like the messaging, which is not much, coming out of the Jets building. I really do. But I also watched Alan Lazard play football every single week when he was active or not hurt. Since he was a Jet, and he stinks. He can't run, and he can't catch. I think Glenn's wrong.
All right, so back to the quarterbacks, because that's the primary thing here. Whether the Giants take one, whether the Jets take one. My guy Bobby Skinner, who is on top of this from the Giants' perspective, he does a Giants Nation show, the podcast now. He used to be with John Boy, but he's doing his stuff on his own.
I saw that. He moved back to good.
Yeah, he is probably the best with this stuff. Okay, so now he ranks his top six quarterbacks here. And see, this is where I have a problem. Now, I'm not breaking down film the way that he is. I'll look at some of the draft mocks and all that stuff. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Tyler Shough, is that how you say his name?
Shuck,
okay, there you go. Tyler, where's he at? Where's he go to school?
Shuck is at, hold on, not Maryland, Jesus.
Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Tyler Shough, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart.
See, Milroe to me is very interesting.
And
from
then Bama. Kyle McCord. Okay, so okay, now, so I see, that's how he has him ranked six. And then I look at another one. Fox Sports has Shedeur Sanders number one.
Ooh.
And Cam Ward number two. Point is, consensus by people who watch the tape, and it's Ward number one, Sanders number two. It doesn't mean that there could be an outlier that maybe the Saints or somebody else think that Jackson Dart could be number two.
Sure.
Maybe somebody likes Jalen Milroe. Then you look at some of the comps, okay? Fox Sports has a comp.
I like comps. I always find this stuff interesting.
Well,
what
because
do we got?
We've seen these guys. Okay. Yep. Shedeur Sanders, the best case comp for him, Jared Goff. Now, I would have never guessed that based on watching the little that I did of Shedeur Sanders, but best case comp they have at Fox Sports, Jared Goff.
Here's my first reaction to it. I'm okay with it because Jared Goff is not an elite athlete, neither is Shedeur Sanders, and Jared Goff doesn't have a hose, and neither does Sanders. So, in terms of like athleticism, just dynamic qualities, Sanders not a ton, same with Goff, more accurate and more pre-snappery. I'm actually okay with that.
Okay, Cam Ward, best case comp, Jordan Love.
I mean, that's why he's going to go first overall. It's a big difference.
Okay.
And I know Goff has been good. Jared Goff has been good.
And that's kind of my point. All right, Jalen Milroe, best case comp.
Okay.
You want to take a guess?
I'm going to. He is big. He is fast. So he's not Jameis Winston, who was slow coming out. This is going to be a weird one. A much bigger version of Jalen Hurts.
Michael Vick.
Okay.
And they go, with all due respect to Sanders, this is a little write-up on him, with all due respect to Sanders and Ward, the most gifted quarterback of the class of 2025 is Milroe.
He's an absolute physical beast. Physical beast.
Okay. Let's go a couple more.
Who else you got?
Kyle McCord, Syracuse.
Okay, very much a non-athlete. Cannot run at all. This 40's about a 5, 4.97.
Best case comp.
Best case? Let's see. It's not going to be very, very good.
Sam Darnold.
Well, with Sam Darnold. I'm assuming this Sam Darnold?
I would assume.
All right, so if you draft him, you're going to take your lumps and you're getting criticized, and then you're going to go to a different team, and they'll reap the rewards. Right. I'll pass.
All right, Jackson Dart, best case comp?
Okay, Jackson Dart, I really do like him. Ugly?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Best case comp, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, again, this is Fox Sports.
I got you. He's got a little wiggle.
Fox Sports has him five. Bobby Skinner also has him five.
I got to find somebody who's a bit athletic because Jackson Dart is. Just give me. Who do you have?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. I mean.
Hey, dude.
I know, but Jimmy G early was pretty good. And here's the difference, though. Garoppolo was, a sixth-round pick, whatever it was. Jackson Dart might go in the first round.
They have also Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers from Texas?
Yeah. He's,
where's he at?
They have him six. Bobby doesn't have him on his top six here. Brock Purdy, best case comp there.
All right. I mean, is Brock
Riley more of a- Leonard is 7 from Notre Dame. Best case comp, Daniel Jones. I mean, all right, so here's my, and then Will Howard.
I was going to ask you about him from Ohio State.
They have him 8th. Best case comp, Dak Prescott. So there's some upside there.
So that's interesting because they've got him 8 and the upside. Now, I know it's best case comp, understood, but if you couldn't see those characteristics as somewhat transferable, you wouldn't say Dak Prescott.
Right.
So it, to me, it's interesting. It's good conversation, but it doesn't really equal out. Like if I'm doing that, I then would have him higher if I can envision him being like Dak, who throws 35 touchdowns some years.
All right, so here's my takeaway from all of this, and we'll get back. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back to your calls, I promise. I can't wait to talk to you guys about this. 888-808-1019. There are going to be options here. I'm not saying you've got to take Sanders at number 3. What I'm saying is it is a clear need for the New York Giants that they need to find the quarterback of the future. They, Shane and Daboll, better identify the one that they think is going to be the guy that they could draft and develop and make him their franchise quarterback in this draft. Now, they will be scrutinized for whoever they choose, but it better be one of these guys. And the other issue that I have, BT, with not taking one of them number 3, is that, and I'm not saying I would reach for, let's say they like Will Howard, obviously you don't have to take him number 3, but the other issue is this was, many people made us believe that this is a not a quarterback-rich draft.
It's not.
So now you're going to go from the consensus 1-2 in Cam Ward and Sanders to taking more of a risk. It doesn't mean that those guys can't hit if they really love Will Howard or I'm just naming him because of the call. Or Jalen Milroe, which would get me excited. If they love one of those guys, fine, but they better figure out a way to get him and not screw it up. If that means trading back into the first round, whatever, trading out of the 3rd pick overall, the primary goal, this is all I'm saying, primary goal should be they identify the guy that they want and they make sure they get him.
Okay, I would agree with that. Like, if they walk away after 4 or 5 rounds without a quarterback, that's unacceptable. Our debate or our point the first segment was more about what I would do with 3. So I don't disagree with that. You know, the funny thing that gets ignored too, like we very freely say, oh, look at the miss rate or the other side, the hit rate of quarterbacks in the first round. Well, is the miss rate greater than 50%, the bust rate, which it is, by the way, that high because it's an inability to identify talent or because a talented player goes to the wrong system and looks worse than he is and is not given a chance to flourish. Now, I got to be honest with you. The recent evidence in the NFL tells me it's more the latter than the former. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, who knows if Zach Wilson gets a shot, if he can play. Like, I really think where you go matters. So we fixate so much on, they drafted a stiff. No, they didn't draft the stiff, but they didn't properly insulate and coach the kid up and run the right system.
Which is something that Brian Daboll should be. It's one of the reasons why he got hired.
Nice to see him get a win. Ben Rice looks good. But that bullpen with Williams, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Hate to say I told you so. But, all right, we'll do more of that coming up next hour. BT and Sandy, the Mets bullpen isn't much better as far as the closers go with Edwin Diaz. We'll do that coming up next hour, BT. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's get some of these calls here on the Giants and Jets draft here. 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Giants picking 3rd, Jets 7th. Jay is in Bridgeport. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. What's up?
I just had a quick question. Or you tell me if I'm wrong. The Giants got holes everywhere. Everywhere up and down the line. Why wouldn't they trade the 3rd pick, trade out of there, get a huge bunch of picks? Somebody wants to be 3rd. Get a huge bunch of picks. Fill in the holes what they need, linemen, defensive, everything, and take one of these quarterbacks in the later round.
Well, Jay, they might. Here's how I think the Giants. Good call, good question. I think it's applicable to what's going on here. With a possibility with that. But I think the only way, well, not the only way, but a greater likelihood of that happening is if a non-quarterback goes 2. Because think about this. I don't think you're trading up, even though Carter could be amazing and some of these other players could certainly be amazing. The old lineman from Missouri, who I've actually seen connected to the Giants at 3 recently and the Jets. But anyway, I don't think you move into the 3 spot for a non-quarterback. So if it's Cam Ward 1 and then it's, let's say, Travis Hunter 2, and the Giants don't love Shedeur Sanders, but the Raiders do, or the Jets do, or some other team that I'm not thinking about might. I mean, now you might have incentive to trade up to 3, but I think that that's a draft night read is what happens. I don't think you do that before the draft.
I like the idea. I would hope that they have that plan in mind. The problem is, if they had number 2, then you could do it definitively. At number 3, to your point, BT, even if Sanders is there and a team loves him, he's not going to New England, and he's not going to Jacksonville.
No.
So he's likely not going to Oakland, to where are they now? Vegas, the Raiders. But, all right, so even if he would potentially go there, you're talking about, instead of trading up, if you're the team that likes him, to number 3, you trade up for number 6 instead. So I don't think the Giants are in a position of power necessarily to trade down, although I like that a lot under the circumstance of the Giants don't like Sanders, but they identify one of the other top quarterbacks, trade down, get that top quarterback, and amass more picks to where you can fill in the roster.
Yeah, but they got to play the game the right way, and there's no evidence that, I'm not saying Joe Shane can't, but he's still a little bit new at this here. I mean, you got to have stones of steel to sit there on draft night and play this the proper way where, Giants phone, again, a non-quarterback at number 2, and the Giants phone is ringing off the hook, and they've got to make a real-time decision. Well, they've got to let other teams know, we might take Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur, Jackson Dart, we could, sure. You guys can wait, because I get your point about number 4 and number 5 in the draft.
Right.
They don't need a quarterback because they got theirs, but if the Giants play this properly and other teams think, even if it's not, if they're not sure, but they think that they could, oh, wow, the Giants, they don't love Shedeur, but they need a quarterback. Maybe they do take him. You know what? Let's not run the risk. Let's incentivize them to trade out. Then you should do it.
And then the risk there is that when you do, if you were to trade out, when you do that, you better make sure you're getting the guy that you want. First of all, I don't think the Giants have the sack to do that. I think they're taking the best player available at number 3, and it's probably not going to be a quarterback. And I'm going to go nuts about that if they don't take one of those other quarterbacks that we mentioned relatively early in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But if they identify their guy, let's just say it's Jalen Milroe. They say, you know what, we're in love with him, tantalizing talent, all that stuff. Then they better make sure that they get him. So trading down can be tricky. Now, maybe you trade down and get some picks that can help you then trade back up if you feel like it. Also, selecting 3 can be tricky if you identify their quarterback. My primary goal, if I'm the Giants, and they have their board, I don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but on their board, they have their rankings, player rankings, and position rankings, right?
Yep.
Whoever their number 1 quarterback is in this draft, that's who they have to get. I'm assuming outside of Cam Ward. And even if it is Cam Ward, by the way, I would do everything I could to trade up to get him. But let's say that he can't, Titans are going to take him. Whoever their top quarterback is available, that's the guy that they need to come away with.
See, I actually think there's a couple of players that the Giants could walk away with that I would love it. And I'm just kind of looking at some of these names.
At three?
Like, I think you and I would both love Abdul Carter.
Yes.
This is going to seem like it's early, and they would have to really determine who they like better. Would it be Will Campbell? Or would it be the offensive tackle from Missouri, who I put maybe connected to the Jets about 10 days or so ago at number 7. But then I'm looking at this mock right now, this updated version. Again, I'm not married to this, but it's an interesting roadmap.
Will Campbell at 7, you said?
Will Campbell, the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying you can trade out of 3, and if they get a Campbell or the kid from Missouri, you're not getting Abdul Carter if you trade out of 3, right. I don't think. But you could get a Mason Graham. You could get a Will Johnson, the quarterback from Michigan. Like, there's other things for me, just speaking for myself, where they can not get a quarterback in round 1. They could trade out, collect more assets maybe for next year's move up for a quarterback that they love, but still get a player that is going to make them a much better team. If you get a lineman on the other side now, Andrew Thomas has to stay healthy, but to me, that is not, it doesn't satisfy the quarterback issue, but it makes them a better team.
Yeah, I'd rather that almost than, but again, I'd also be trading down, taking the lineman, let's say, and then still getting one of those quarterbacks that
later
I
on around 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that would be phenomenal.
That they identified.
That'd be great.
Ray is in Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Ray?
Ray.
Hey, what's going on, Sal, BT?
Nope.
Long time listener.
All right.
Hey, my thing is this. If we didn't get a quarterback, you don't think that Shane and Abel, by picking Wilson, was to stabilize the offense? And with Malik Nabers and maybe somebody else to supplement them, will just stabilize the offense at this point, and then maybe next year or somewhere down the line, we could grab a quarterback, free agency, wherever. But I think that just forces so that we don't force ourselves to jump out the window to grab a quarterback that we're really not interested in.
It's the worst thing they could do.
If they're interested in one of these quarterbacks, it's good.
Yep. The worst thing they could be doing, thanks for the call, good question, is they are sitting in their building right now, right by MetLife Stadium, and they're like, man, we don't love any of these quarterbacks, but we got to take one, otherwise we're fired. I mean, then you're going to get fired. Like, the conviction must be, without an ounce of doubt, Abdul Carter, Hall of Famer, offensive lineman, 7-8-time Pro Bowler. And you got to nail that pick as well. Otherwise, there's other people to answer to down the road for that. But to throw a dart at a quarterback that you like and don't love at three is idiotic. Right, there's no way I'm doing that.
But they said this. They did the same thing last year, and it didn't work out in their favor.
Work it? What do you mean?
They passed on all the quarterbacks last year that guys took behind them and made them successful.
I understand that. I get it. Listen.
So my point is, at some point, any regime in the NFL has to identify a potential franchise quarterback. Make a decision, right or wrong, get off the pot, like make a decision here. And they have not done that, and they're going into year four. As a matter of fact, if you want to say that the one guy that they chose, it was Daniel Jones. And how'd that work out? So they chose Daniel Jones, they passed on four or five guys last year, and now potentially again this year they're going to pass on more guys. There's never going to be a perfect opportunity. There's never going to be a... No doubt about it. Top. What are they waiting for? Andrew Luck. And by the way, he didn't work out. Trevor Lawrence, how'd that work out? It didn't. So there is not going to be that perfect guy. That's what it seems like they're waiting for. Oh, no. Too risky. Can't take Shador Sanders. We don't love him. Oh, no. Don't like Penix. No. We wouldn't want Bo Nix. Couldn't do that. Like, don't like McCarthy. Okay, well, who do you like? And a lot of these guys have already proven to be at least competent. Bo Nix took the Broncos to the postseason in year one.
There's no question. But I don't incorporate last year as much as you do. I acknowledge that was a mistake.
Because
there's no doubt.
The only reason why I keep bringing it up is because they had the same mentality.
Seemingly this year.
Well, last year was more obvious because it was a quarterback-rich draft.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some of the quarterbacks already have success. So they decided to pass last year when they clearly needed a quarterback. And now again, it feels like they're going to pass again.
But it's not the same exact circumstances. Like,
I get it. This year's worse.
It's worse this year in terms of the players available. But also, hey, we've done a million shows on Daniel Jones' shortcomings. Coming off the 2022 season, so 2022.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
Yeah, but coming off that season, coming off a playoff win, it changes the thought inside the building. Right. Now, it's proven to be an erroneous thought, like they subscribed to the wrong thing.
They kept him for 2023, then it was a disaster. That's why last year, going into the 2024 draft,
I understand that.
If you still thought, and they did, and this is why I would have just... got rid of everybody. But the owner can't fire himself. So, I mean, he's part of the problem. He wanted Jones. If you still thought that going into the draft last year, Daniel Jones was a good quarterback, I don't know what to tell you. And they did. They thought that Malik Nabers, healthy Andrew Thomas, the other pieces in place, that they were going to get the most out of Daniel Jones. And what happened?
See, but there's... I get it. Again, listen, I a lot of the stuff from the past, we're completely together. I'm with you. What I'm saying is There's a little nuance here. Like, it's so easy to sit here now and say, God, what were they thinking with Jones? And that's fair, okay? But in real time, like, there is something that's in between of Daniel Jones is atrocious and Daniel Jones is Joe Montana.
Right.
So they were generally like that third year kind of splits the difference. Like, the first year, they were rewarded.
Second year took a chance, rightfully
so. They took a chance. It didn't work out. Okay. And maybe they wanted to get their final answer last year, which they did because they wound up cutting him.
Right.
And now they have to obviously address that at some point, which I know that they will. Whether it's round one, two, or three, I don't know. That's what this discussion's about here. There was enough evidence. Like, I do want to be fair. I don't think they're incredibly effective at their job yet, both men. But I want to be fair to them. They did win a road playoff game with that guy. He did run for 8 or 9 touchdowns. He's not here, but he did learn to not turn the ball over. What they inherited was basically an expansion team in terms of talent.
But think about this. If your philosophy is, well, they shouldn't have to take a quarterback because you shouldn't be forced into it. Well, then what if they don't like one next year? And then what if they don't love one the year after that? At some point, you're going to have to take a quarterback. That's just it. At some point, you have to take a quarterback. It can't be, well, you know, we don't love anybody this year. We don't think he's worth a 6th pick. We'd rather have a wide receiver. We don't love the 3rd pick. Like, at some point, you're going to have to take a quarterback. And this regime has kicked that down the road and might. Now, again, we don't know. Maybe they do take a quarterback here. Mm-hmm. They might do it again.
Do you think that the recent trends of available veteran quarterbacks, which never used to be the case,
yeah,
do you think that that is kind of shaping their aggression in drafting somebody?
Maybe.
In the last couple of years, Kirk Cousins available, Sam Darnold available. Well, I mean, these guys, I'm not saying that they're superstars, yeah, but there's more and more guys available. A young Justin Fields, who's interesting. They might be looking, hey, they might be playing chess, even though it seems like they're playing hungry, hungry hippo, not even checkers at this point. But they might be looking 2 years, this guy's going to be free, and that guy's going to be free, and this guy's going to be free, and there's a chance we can get one of them. So let's give him a superstar receiver, neighbors. Let's do this on the offensive line on the other side of Thomas, or, you know, give Dexter Lawrence another stud next to him. Like, there's more thought into what they're doing than them just, I'm going to give them that credit, than them just saying, yeah, we don't need a quarterback.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.